What's the current?
Oh, what's the current, mate? It's bit of a day today, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a day, wasn't it? I think, I mean, let's break it down from the start. It was after 40 or so K, quick step got a bit horny, went quite fast down the descent, and then it was a bit of crosswind.
You know that climb, that cobble climb, and then the descent?
Yeah.
We did that in Get Mabelgum, didn't we? The windy edition of Wevelgem, where I was third. I'm sure we went up there. And then what's his face? From Bike Exchange.
I know the one you mean.
Durbo. Said we did it as well. I was like, yeah, I'm sure we did it.
It's called like the Castleberg or something.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if we were, where in the world we were, and if it's possible to do that and get Wevelgem.
Do you know what? Now you say it, that leading road. I'm going to say no.
Because when but we I could did be it, wrong. I like...
That road before was full crosswind in Wevelgem, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then we.
But just that climb and the... Yeah, we're right on the Belgian border. But that climb and the town at the top and the... It just looked... It felt like I'd done it before.
I'm going to say no. Just thinking of the area.
People out there can let us know. But Durbo said we did it as well. So, but anyway, so yeah. Quick step lit it up there, didn't they? But then it was like 5K crosswind and then turned right into a headwind. And then most of the day was head cross and was tailwind. So it was never really going to happen. But it's a shame, really, because it would have been nice to have just let rip, wouldn't it?
Mate, it's the right neck of the woods for it. There's the Pan, there's Coxeter, Newport. Yeah, we might have. You're right, yeah.
Always right, mate.
Apart from when you're wrong.
And then, it was like lumpy all day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just solid, wasn't it? I think there was a 60K section in the middle that had 1,200 metres of climbing. So that was pretty solid. And the break, there's a bit of... That's a discussion, actually.
The sprinters teams.
Yeah. I mean, so stage three, Wout van Aert had the yellow jersey, and there was a bit of poker at the start. All the sprinters teams were a bit pissed off because Jumbo didn't want to ride, despite him finishing second the day before and him having the jersey. And they said, no, we're not riding. And then the same thing happened today. Jumbo said, we're not riding, despite having the jersey, and he's finished three times second. So it was like a Mexican standoff with a lot of the teams. One team would start, no one would help. So and the break went out 7 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah.
And again, Jumbo didn't ride. So, I mean.
I think they should ride.
Yeah, I think they should ride, yeah.
But at the same time, I was a sprinters team. Like, as we've said previously, there's not that many sprints. Like, Lotto, Quick Step, even Alpecin, really. Yeah. What else are they here for? Like, just commit, boys. Just do it.
I mean, yeah, like you say, them three teams and Mitchelton have kind of got...
Mitchelton, yeah.
Pretty much a one-pronged attack for the tour, haven't they? They got other guys who can do things on stages, but them four teams are built around one man, and it's their designated sprinter. So, yeah.
I get why they'd be annoyed with Jumbo, but at the same time, it's like, just crack on, innit? You're going to ride. They ended up riding anyway.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
Yeah. And then, who did ride? Alpecin, Quick Step, Lotto. Our bike exchange, well, then, yeah, them four all ended up riding, didn't they?
Yeah. And, like, it was just, like, sort of a little grippy, wasn't it? Just get rid of some of the cobwebs from the last few days. And then just coming into that final climb, like, we kind of joked about it on the bus, so I might be Paranese 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, in Paranese, people that don't know, like, when Jumbo lit it up, there was crosswinds before the climb, and then on the climb, they just sprinted up it, and three of them went away, and they first, second, third on the stage.
Van Aert, Roglic, Laporte.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, surely they're not going to try and do the same thing today. You know, it's the tour. It's different to Paranese. But then... The way the run into that climb was, it was such a, you know, fast downhill, right, sharp left, like the group was properly strung out.
Yeah,
it was ideal to try some of that, and they did. And Jack Bauer, he dive bombed me into that corner. Like, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, if somebody's like that, you're thinking, no, you've got to at least have some decent legs. Straight out of the corner, he was losing the wheel, mate.
Yeah.
And then, so I had to go around him, close a gap. But, whoa, they went.
Because I tried to go earlier, over the top.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you guys weren't in that washing machine. But, yeah, still carnage in it.
Yeah. And, like, I was a bit like, ah, it's okay if I'm not, like, third or fourth wheel into this climb, you know. It was kind of like, there was you, then a jumbo guy, or two jumbos, then Yatesy, then another jumbo, then another one of us.
Dylan was there.
Dylan, like, so there was no real, like, and then for the Jack Bauer, 24th bitch, he dive bombed me and lost the wheel. But then,
yeah,
they went and closed that gap. Roglic came around me. So I was like, oh, sweet, okay, sit behind him. And then the guy in front of him, I think it was Laporte, lost the wheel. And Roglic, I don't know if he couldn't or didn't close it. I don't think he could, to be honest. To be honest, I'm not sure I would have been able to either close a gap at that pace. But so anyway, he swings over and I automatically swing over as well, thinking, you know, well, I'm not going to close the gap for everyone sat behind me when I've got Yatesy there. So at this point, there's Van Aert, Yates, and Vingegaard. So I swing over, following Roglic, look back. There's only Danny left. Nice. Like, my teammate. So I was like, well, there's me and Danny here. Yatesy's there. Like, 10 metres up the road with two jumbos. And then Roglic is with us. So I was like, well, we might as well just keep going.
Yeah.
So I kind of kept going a bit over the top, swap off a bit. But then Vlasov and Pogacar and that come back. So we kind of stopped them. But by that point, we were pretty much back with Yatesy and Vingegaard, and Wout had just gone. It was unbelievable, really. Like, you know, it's one thing gapping Yatesy up that climb, but then to still have the legs for the next 10K to ride like a motorbike.
Yeah.
Like, holy moly.
I was behind and I heard on the radio, Wout van Aert, 35 seconds.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like,
I said,
how is that possible?
Sorry, what? I was like, I said to Garner, do you hear that? 35 seconds, Wout van Aert. And he said, no, it's not possible. Then I said, Wout van Aert, 28 seconds. I said, fuck, I think it is, mate. Impressive.
Yeah, because then at first I didn't realize who was there, and like Caleb and that wasn't there. So then I was like, Dylan comes back. He's like, oh, what should I do? I was like, just keep riding. Because Tom's here, Pidcock. And Sagan was there and Mads Pedersen and a few other guys. But it's like, might as well give it a go, you know,
yeah.
See if we can get Tom up there. But then as soon as I saw Lotta with Caleb and, you know, a few of the like, sprinters, it's just like, oh, Dylan, take it easy, mate. Just leave it to them now. But yeah, fair play to Wout. Like, he had some legs there. I did my, Connor messaged me, did my best ever 1 minute power of all time today.
Really?
Oh, geez. Nearly 20 watts as well.
1 minute power.
My previous best was like 7:11.
Mm.
And today was 7:30.
7:30.
Yeah.
And he rode away.
He just rode away.
Jesus Christ. Fair play to the boy.
Yeah. So he's packing some power. And I called it as well. Mate, I'm 100% record so far. I said Jakobsen on the first day. We didn't do a prediction because we didn't do a pod for stage three. And I said Van Aert last night.
Who did you say for stage? Oh, you didn't say. We didn't do stage three.
No.
Fuck.
Mate, it's too love, mate.
I messaged, we're talking to Bailey this morning. Right, I'm going to show you. He said, what do you think? He said, I think Alpecin will go. I said, jumbo, I think. So I got the team, right?
Yeah, but I don't think you expected that. None of us expected that.
Jumbo full tees. I
thought, one guy just go away and just
no,
like...
No, I mean, nobody can predict that. Nobody could predict that. And I thought they might start setting a tempo on the drag before, go up there, do the descent, and then, okay, go hard. But
I thought, they'd go real hard.
As they...
But it'd still be a group at the top, not one guy, two guys, three guys. another like four. Like, it was just nuts, though, wasn't it?
But if you look at the footage for the top of that climb, and then you think, well, hang on, that was an 800 meter climb. 800 meters, minute 40.
Yeah.
Minute 40. And it looked like gaps everywhere. But I think...
Well, it was all positioning.
A few facts, yeah. I mean, where you're going right, left at the bottom, I went in the front, and they come past me just sprinting, literally sprinting. It was just all there. And the peloton was just one long line. People sprinting for their life at the back. It was just... Positioning was key. I got an interesting stat, actually. So Magnus caught third day in a row in the breakaway. He set a new record previously held by Federico, I'm going to get this wrong, Bahamontes in 1958, to have won the first eight mountain summits in a row. He took, yeah, no, more than eight. No.
First he had five today, didn't he? Because the sixth one he wasn't.
Yeah, so five.
Don't know what there was the previous days.
Was it 2-2? Is it not nine?
Don't know.
Anyway, he's got the record for the most consecutive mountains in a row ever in the Tour de France.
Oh, fair play.
It's a good little start, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's done it quite cleverly. Is that a word, cleverly? Cleverly.
Intelligent.
Sounds wrong. Smart, wisely, like going for them, taking what you can take, and then coming back to the peloton. He's done it quite cleverly.
That's a footballer, isn't it?
Nathan Cleverly. No, that's a boxer.
Yeah, Welsh I'm boxer. Sure there's, yeah. There's him as well, but I'm sure there's a, he used to play for United Cleverly as well.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe, I don't know.
Smart fella, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was today. Tomorrow, mate. Tomorrow.
What do you even say? Well, should we start with predictions? Winner?
Ah, yeah. Go on, Aaron, what do you think?
Yves Lampaert.
Oh, good shout.
Thank you.
Tom Cleverley.
Ah, yeah.
United. Played for United 2000 to 2000.
Defender.
2008 to 2015.
Defender, right?
Or defensive midfielder, maybe.
Yeah. I know my football, mate. Okay.
Sorry, yeah. Prediction. Yep. So you're going Lampaert. I think I'm going to go...
You can't pick Wout van Aert, it's cheating.
Yeah.
Here's another stat.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry to interrupt. Wout van Aert's last six Tour de France stages go like this. First, second, first. Because he won the last two stages of the last tour. Yeah. So the last six stages he completed. First, second, first.
That's not bad, is it?
Bastard.
Prick. So I reckon I'm going to go Mads Pedersen.
Interesting.
Or Stuyven. But no, I'll go Mads because he's racked up some decent results already. He's obviously going well. Stuyven's going well as well. I think both of them will be, you know, they don't have a GC guy. They don't, do they? No. They go all guns blazing. Because the thing is, the cobbles in the tour are strange, isn't it? Because like 2010, you'd say, you know, Fabian was, he'd had the yellow jersey maybe and, but, you know, you'd say, oh, he's going to win. But he rode for Schleck that day because he was in the break with me. And when I was second, Hushoff won. And Fabian was just twatting it on the front for, like, the last 20-odd K for Schleck. So a lot more other things come into it. But Trek obviously don't have a GC guy, so they'll be all guns blazing. Like DSM, I'm sure someone like, you know, Degenkolb won in 18.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he's quite got the same legs now, but I don't know how he'll have to ride. He might have to help Bardet. I don't know what their tactics will be. If I was them, I'd let him off the leash.
Actually, can I change my pick?
Yeah.
Peter Sagan.
Oh.
Yeah, Peter Sagan. Sorry, Lampaert. You've had your fame already this tour. PD, bring it back.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know about that one. But yeah, and like going off, you know, GC, like in 15 and 18 when we had cobbles, there was no change in GC. Everyone sort of marked each other out. It was a lot of like, yeah, first few sectors, like a bunch sprint or like a sprint into like the final climb today, you know, teams right across the road, all the GC guys in front, nothing really happened. And then the guys racing for the stage went towards the end. But racing is different these days. So
it's like a race within a race, isn't there? You got guys going,
big time, yeah.
I'm here for this stage, massive priority in my season, and I want to treat this like a one-day classic. And then you've got guys, well, whole teams really, going, well, we've got a GC favourite, and the whole team is to stay with him,
yeah,
shadow him, and essentially most people, the GC guys, want to finish the day the way they started.
Yeah. What I will say, though, is even if on paper, come tomorrow evening, if there's no big change on GC, no one's really missed out, I still think it affects the race because some guys use a lot more energy than others. Quintana, for instance, will use a lot more physical and mental energy tomorrow than me, for example. Mm. I think that does, spending those extra pennies does affect you later on in the race, even if you don't lose time that one day. But
I think it'll split up quite a lot. I think it'll be different. I'm putting my nose out there and saying that. I think the first, this is 11 sections, the first seven aren't so bad, aren't Roubaix-level cobbles, and the last four are all sections from Roubaix and are serious sections. Section four, I think, is the hardest.
Well, it depends on the wind as well, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, the wind's favourable in the last four sections as well, cross or tail. So I think it'll be different to previous year. I think it'll split quite well in the last four sections.
Yeah.
Earlier on, not so much, mainly crashes and positioning. But the last four, I think it will. I'm not gonna, yeah, explode. I think it'll explode.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It does suck a bit, though. You know, like, say, someone who's just, yeah, committed all year to this and they can crash, like, lose it all tomorrow.
Well, as long as it's not one of our three boys.
Yeah, I don't care, but, yeah. But, yeah, it's just...
We say that tongue-in-cheek. We say that tongue-in-cheek.
Do we?
No.
But, yeah, so, it's just one of those days, isn't it? It's just going to be 3.5 hours, full gas. Just there'll be no stopping for a piss.
No.
It's just, yeah. Kilometer zero, be fighting for position all the way through to the end, really.
I quite enjoy and look forward to Roubaix. I don't look forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a shit day. There's no other way of describing it, really. It's just going to be not very enjoyable day. A lot to be gained and a lot to be lost, and it depends what side of the coin you're on.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. And it's because with Roubaix, it's your own result, really, isn't it? But here you've got responsibility of somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, someone else's race is my priority, whereas Roubaix, a bit more straightforward.
Yeah.
And Roubaix is 260K. If you're not in the front for the first two sections, it's all right. You know, you'll get there.
And they kind of know what they're doing as well.
Yeah.
In Roubaix, whereas here, you got, you know, guys that never ride cobbles unless they've ridden the tour in 2018 or 15 or 14. Like,
it's a very diverse peloton here, isn't it? You got, you know, the best mountain goats in the world. You got the best cobble specialists in the world. Sprinters, TT riders, and everything in between. Whereas Roubaix, you got guys who want to be there. They've done all the classics campaign. They've done 2 months of cobble racing, and it's just another race.
Yeah,
but this is just—it's going to be a gong show.
And everyone wants to do well, don't they? Like, exactly. Do well on the Roubaix stage. You're like, yeah. So, yeah.
Who do you think will win? Oh, yeah. Mads.
Yeah.
It's a good shout. Good shout.
Mads or Stuyven, yeah. But one of them will be good. Stuyven, was he in that four-man move, like, in 18 with Degenkolb? I think he might have been, you know.
I think he was. It was Degenkolb, Lampaert, Van Aert. Sorry, Van Avermaet. And Stuyven, was it? Was it them four?
Maybe, I don't know. Anyway.
Van Aert is old. Sorry, Van Aert. Stuyven is one of the most consistent one-day classics rider. I'd say probably the most. So he's always there.
Van der Poel.
Van der Poel, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a shout, actually. Might change to him.
Yeah.
I'll go Van der Poel.
Sorry, Mad. Sorry, Lampy. He got flicked.
Yeah.
Van der Poel, yeah. He, by his standards, he's been quiet, hasn't he?
He had a good TT. He's not really a sprinter, though, is he? He doesn't really get involved in that. I think he's been waiting for tomorrow. He's going to unleash
his...
Out. Yeah.
I mean, today would be good for him, but maybe he didn't expect to be raced the way it was.
No. They probably thought, all in for Philipsen, innit? Just get over the climb and...
Poor Philipsen. Finished second, arms in the air.
It's happened a fair few times this year, I'm sure, haven't it? Like,
happened in Swiss with Bettiol, didn't it?
Yeah. Van Aert like celebrated early and got pipped by Godu and
yes,
Dauphiné.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody else has celebrated second as well.
Yeah,
but
I'm surprised today was strange that you didn't know. Like it was clear on our radio, but maybe
But anyway, there we go. On to tomorrow. I don't know when the next pod will be. We'll see
how we go.
Yeah,
we've actually got a Dylan Van Baarle episode recorded. We got that up our sleeves. Maybe we could release that over the next few days.
Yeah,
in and around the Roubaix stage, speak to the man himself. Dylan Van Baarle, how's he gonna go tomorrow? Roubaix champ.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, about like some guys allowed off the leash, others not. Like, he's probably gonna have to stick around us.
Yeah,
although I'd be happy for him to go if he can and win. Why not? Take me with him.
Go, Dylan, I'm here.
Yeah. I'm on you, mate.
I think with Dylan as well, the longer races really suit him, don't they?
Yeah, he's a big...
Like this Roubaix this
endurance
year.
Endurance engine, isn't he?
That was full titties after 30, 40K with crosswind and just like a slow grind slog of a race. Well, even though it was the fastest ever Roubaix, just on the pedals all day.
Yeah.
Like he averaged like, I don't know, 350 big watts.
Sap race, like
6 hours or something crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow will be a bit more punchy because it's a short stage, isn't it? 150K.
Yeah.
But he'll be good. He'll be good.
Yeah.
I think it's an ego thing as well, isn't it? You know, if you won Roubaix, you don't want to shit out tomorrow, do you?
No, he'd be pumped and up for it, won't he? He'd be confident and.
Yeah, he's been riding well so far.
We got Garner as well. Yeah. Big old Garner. You know, Pidcock, he can float around well in the peloton. So we got a good team for it. So see what happens, eh?
Roll the dice. Have a dabble. In for a penny, in for a pound and all that.
All right, but, well.
Gilet. Tell the people about your gilet, mate.
Ah, yeah, if you haven't seen about the gilet. So I gave it to some ginger Glaswegian today who drove down from, well, Glasgow yesterday. He's got it.
Taylor's brother.
He might be related to Taylor, yeah. He's got it on the back of his little van now. He's kitted out with a sink and a bed and all that. So, yeah, he's going to pass it on to somebody else. That's already been lined up, I think, tomorrow. And then they're passing it on to these Dutch YouTubers, apparently, on stage six. So, yeah, it's all coming together. But basically, yeah, I'm giving my gilet to this dude. And every stage... He's going to keep it for one stage, pass on somebody else. They're going to have it for the next stage. We're going to see if we can get it all the way to Paris without getting stolen or nicked or, you know, lost or whatever. But, and then at the end of it, auction it off for Geraint Thomas Cycling Trust. Yeah, basically my holiday in October. No, it'll be for the trust to help kids getting on bikes and stuff in Wales and the UK. So,
Good man.
Yeah, and everyone that has it, I'll get them to sign it on the back, the date and where they were. Be pretty cool, you know, if we manage to get around the whole
for
race.
For sure, it'll make it.
Yeah, I didn't have much faith, but then there's been a lot of response to it. So hopefully we can get it.
Nobody's going to pinch that, surely. That'd be scum.
Yeah, and it'd be obvious who's pinched it because they will. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go knock on the door and batter them.
I don't care about it that much, but yeah. We'll shank them, yeah. But we'll see.
Happy days.
If you are coming out to the tour for a few days, because obviously you need to go to two stages because you need to have it in one and give it to somebody on the next. But if you are coming out, check out my social media and
have G-Gilet for a day.
Yes. Where's G-Gilet? G-Lay Relay. Yeah, sound. All right, bud.
All right, bud. Crack in.
See you later.
Ta-da, ciao, ciao. Boy, ta-da.